Welcome back.
Howdy.
Hadn't been doing much since we saw you last. Let's talk first of all about, I guess, almost a dozen, can we call them shovel-ready plats that you're going to have out there for businesses who want to come to College Station?
Well, because of who originated the phrase shovel-ready, I'd prefer we not use that
okay,
phrase.
Okay, all right.
So let's say these are development-ready.
Okay.
You know, I don't think people really have an appreciation or understand how much it costs, people to get a site to where they're actually ready to start construction. Because you have the, you know, a rezoning is actually really expensive to go through. In particular, a highly contested rezoning is very expensive to go through. And you also have an enormous amount of risk, right? So you have your fees, your engineering costs, your legal fees. You're talking about the high tens of thousands of dollars, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars, to get a property to be rezoned because of all the work that has to be done on legal fees, engineering, and et cetera. And so what we've tried to do here is say, look, these are the logical places where it makes a lot of sense to have general commercial. We don't have a lot of it in town. We really don't have a lot of general commercial available, you know, empty open land that has, you know, roads and stuff ready and available. And so we looked at the whole city and said, okay, and I think we grouped it into three groups. Here's the ones that are slam dunks, easy to rezone. We can shortcut several months of work by a business that wants to locate here and save them an enormous amount of dollars, because we don't like to do tax breaks, you know, for retail or you know, several types of categories. We generally do tax breaks for net exporters, but not for retail or other presence. But retail is really important to city sales tax revenue. And so that's what we did. We looked at the city and we said, these make a lot of sense. Let's do a proactive rezoning. Let's knock these out in three different tiers and let's make them development ready so that someone can come in and they don't have to spend 7 months rezoning. The other problem is the interest carry cost of the land that they carry, or their option contracts, which, you know, they'll lose their option money, and the risk. And of course, what's going on and what you're about to see is a real tightening up across the state, you know, as the oil and gas revenues continue to pinch the state budgets. Mm-hmm. Guess what's going to get hit in College Station? Mm-hmm. There's this school down the way.
We know that. I think we found that out this week.
Yeah, and so because of that, that's going to impact our local economy. Well, these retailers, they have options. And we've seen that with, and I hate to talk about this, but the Papados, mm-hmm. right?
The one that
they still own the land on, that they say they still plan on putting in.
Yeah,
but the reality is they've picked other cities to move on first.
Makes sense. All right, well, let's move on this now, because this brings my next question up. We found out this week that Todd McDaniel will be at the RVP, Research Valley Partnership, no later than December the 31st of this year, maybe sooner than that. Do you see that as a change in the relationship between the city of College Station and RVP going down the road?
Or between me and RVP?
I mean, city of College Station.
Yeah, so I can't speak for the whole city.
No, but you're a member of council.
As one member of council, I can say that I'm looking forward to turning a new page with the RVP. And I'm looking forward to seeing us bring some leadership in that will encourage a much closer relationship with Texas A&M and bring A&M officially back into the fold again, because as you know, A&M pulled out of any involvement with the RVP, and so I'm very hopeful that our prime economic development generator, who's doing so much for our area, will be involved again, that we can have one central group to meet with. Right now we've got a couple of different groups going, and that gets pretty confusing, and so I think that this will be a welcome change.
The director of the budget, Mick Mulvaney, yesterday in Washington, D.C., said among the new things that will be rolled out in the Trump budget is probably doing away with community block grants. Just kind of what's your thought there? How is that going to impact this city?
Well, community block development grants are money. I've never liked relying on federal dollars, because this is the kind of stuff that happens. And I actually asked, you know, Kelly Templin when he first came in, I said, you know, how hard would it be for us to live without this? Because I just don't trust them to, you know, send money back. Texas is a net exporter of tax dollars to the federal government. California is a net consumer of federal tax dollars paid. You know, and so I just think that they're going to keep, that we can't count on these kind of things. What you're going to see is some sidewalk projects we can't do. You're going to see some potential rehab projects that we won't be able to do, right? Because that's the kind of projects that CDBG funds go to. And so, you know, that's also those funds can be used to buy land that can be used for affordable senior housing. So the potential impact is there. I can't remember how much it was.
Sure.
Jay, if you know the number, you're welcome to chime in. But I want to say it was $1 million a year, but I don't remember.
Not big dollars. All right. Well, then that brings us really to the next thing that we were talking to State Representative Cassell. There's going to be some kind of a property tax cap. What do you see that doing to the city?
You know, and running a software business for 16 years, I found the adage that projects expand the budget they're allowed. And governments left unchecked will expand to whatever limits that people allow them to expand to. So I know that this will go against what others believe, but I don't have a problem with setting some reasonable expectations on how much your taxes can go up every year. Now, this is just in general principle, but if you take that policy and say, look, there's only so much it can grow, like my wife, Lori, says she's from Michigan, and Michigan has property tax caps. And so every year, you know, her family, who lives on a pretty fixed income, and they're good people, okay? They're on a farm. They grow crops. I mean, these are good people, but they're capped as to how much it can go up every year. It's just a fixed percentage. And it, you don't have to be in farming for it to be capped. And it protects them. It allows them to have some predictability in their property tax. And so many complaints that we get from people that don't have excess money in our community, and they have legitimate complaints. Look, my neighbor's houses are selling like hotcakes. I don't want to move. My taxes are so high that I can't afford to live in my home of my childhood. And Scott, that's just wrong.
You're right.
That's just wrong on so many levels. Yep. Like on every, you know, I'm a free market capitalist, but we're talking about taxation policy here, not free market capitalism. You know, because in free market capitalism, the market determines what things buy and sell for, but not what they're taxed for. That's the government's job. And so in principle, I actually support limiting government's ability to constantly increase revenue, because when left unchecked, you end up with, you know, I was just in London 3 or 4 weeks ago, and, you know, they pay 50%+ of their income. You know, it is insane how much their cost of living is. I was just in California last week. It is insane how much it costs to live there, and it is straight up to the government, their policies, their regulations, and their taxes.
That's it.
So in principle, I agree with it, but there will always be the law of unintended consequences.
Okay, I want to give you a minute and a half, because I know you've got something that you feel like is an important thing to you, and that's kind of getting the city more connected.
Yeah, Smart City Initiative, and I just want people to understand that a smart city is not just about making your infrastructure or transportation smart. A smart city is a city that utilizes policies and technologies to dramatically improve the welfare of its citizens. Scott, look, I've got 18 months left on my last term in council. Now, I know to many people who are listening who may be on the left side of the political spectrum, that's going to be a welcome announcement. But to all to everybody out there who loves technology, whether you're left or right, you have to understand that technology will solve problems 10x faster than government ever can. Just look. We are living in the most abundant time in human history. Longer lifespans, lowest infant mortality rate, and it is all because of technology. And when you look at the problems of our city, transportation, energy, food, I mean, just the basic problems we got to deal with, security, they can all be solved, the vast majority of them. I can't say all. I don't want to be hyperbole here. But they can be solved with technological solutions. So I'm floating a document around to the city of College Station, and I'm circulating some ideas around having a basic framework for a umbrella of a smart city plan for the city of College Station. Now, we started this already. We have residential and commercial ultra high speed broadband, gig to home. I have a gig at my house that I got from Suddenlink. You also have another company called Wirestar that's already leased dark fiber from the city of College Station. We have materially significantly better bandwidth than the city of College Station than anybody around us. Secondly, we've got an open data portal so anybody can get access to all of our data. We've opened up our GIS database so people can get access to our GIS data. We have safe online transaction zones. Really importantly, we've got an intelligent traffic information system. We've got wastewater recapture, but we can do a lot more. We've got to have smart meters for electric utility. We have to. It's a must. We must be able to manage the energy utilization on our grid because we have a lot of leakage and we can help improve that. We've got to have smarter transport so that all these self-driving cars can communicate with our lights and our streets, data-driven urban planning, better facility management, parking efficiency. You're starting to see that at Texas A&M with sensors of parking lights. All of these things with grid and energy, environmental sensors, and smart public safety all come back to Smart City. You're going to hear more about this from me in the future.
I'm sorry you never have any ideas when you come here.
I've got 18 months left. I've got one big project to knock out. Our food truck park is going to be opening soon, too. Those of you who like food, I hope you go to Northgate and come enjoy that food truck park.
He's not an investor. Thanks for the time.
I'm not.
I know. Thanks for the time this morning. That's James Benner from the City of College Station.
Giggle.
What you got? All right.